next guest is on the line. An important discussion to be had this afternoon with Liron Sanders, the CEO of the CSO, the Community Safety Organization. We're going to try and understand what exactly happened in Montreal last night. Liron, always an absolute pleasure having you with us on Chai FM. Thanks for being with me.
Thanks, anytime.
So, Liron, I did want to jump like right into it and get to the bottom of the issue here, but it just seems to me that there's like some unusual information coming out of the story as to who did the shooting and who killed who and what. Maybe you just want to take us back to the incident itself and just give us an overview of what actually happened.
Yeah, so look, there's a lot of confusing and misinformation at the moment, as there always will be at the beginning phase of any incident, unfortunately.
Okay.
It's obviously really devastating where so far two people lost their lives, one a police officer and one an elderly male from the community. But from what we understand, there was a shooter. As the police were responding, one police officer was shot. It's unconfirmed exactly by who at this stage.
Yeah.
There's two sides to that story, and then unfortunately the community member also was shot and later passed away in hospital, if I'm not mistaken. Scary stuff, very unfortunate, but it is the reality of the world at the moment, and we can only hope to learn, unfortunately, from these situations and take out lessons from what happened to make sure that we're safe around the world and we learn from these types of situations.
So we're going to get into that in a moment or two. I just wanted to know from you, isn't there some sort of doubt as to who shot the Jewish guy, as you said, part of the community? Is it not, in fact, a possibility that he was shot by the police officer or a police officer?
Yes. Yes, it is. It is a possibility, but again, I'm so pedantic on conveying the right message to the community anytime I speak or communicate that I don't want to cause any speculation at the moment. There's a possibility that the police officer and the community were shot by another police officer, and there's a possibility that one could have been shot by the shooter. So we're not certain at this stage.
Okay.
As reports come out, look, my team, we're obviously engaging with various people in Canada. We're talking to similar organizations within Canada just to see if there's any support or any help that they need, as we do when these types of events happen. And as it unfolds and we understand more from the incident, I'll be happy to clarify exactly what happened.
But I
like to give the facts for the facts. There's no point in speculating and causing interesting stories for the sake of it. It's more important that everyone understands what exactly happened.
So let's talk about what we do know. And it appears that the suspect wasn't from Montreal itself. He drove apparently hours. He wrote a manifesto attacking Jews, women, and the police. And I'm wondering whether this kind of lone actor, ideologically kind of scrambled guy, because he was all over the place, does this worry you more than organized extreme groups?
So very important and interesting question. There's always two ways to look at terrorism, or probably multiple ways, but there's organized groups, and then there's lone wolf attacks.
Mm-hmm.
And the lone wolf attacks have a wide variety of ranges of what could incite the person to do this. It could be someone who's learnt ISIS manifestos and taken it on as their belief system. It could be someone who wants to do a copycat attack. So there's different methods that these lone wolves act in, or it could just be on their own accord. But there's different types of terror. Like I said, there's the one side which is organized groups, and the one side which is lone wolf. The positive, as weird as that is to say, about organized groups is they're easier to understand because they follow quite a strict manifesto or way of committing attacks and preparing.
Sure.
With a lone wolf, it's quite erratic and it's quite hard to understand the mindset of a lone wolf attack. But it's always an element of a security plan on our side, at least. So those are the two different sides of the coin.
I want to talk to you about something else that the press has been reporting about this particular incident, and that is the incel aspect. Now, this is news to me. I'm not aware of any such attack before. How have incels now become involved in subcultures that end up now turning their anger towards Jews? What's the connection between incels and Jews?
It's hard to identify a pinpoint answer because it's quite new out there. We're all still trying to learn about it. And honestly, I just don't have enough information at this point in time to give you the link.
No, fair enough. But you're going to have to come back and talk to us when these things do clarify, because these are important issues for us to understand. Sure. The location, 100%. I mean.
So what's very important, I mean, on this is as the world changes and evolves, the terror behind the world changes and evolves as well. And it's my team and our responsibility to understand and learn these chains and learn from it, unfortunately, so that we can prepare ourselves. And we're still in the learning phase in a lot of this.
Clearly, I mean, it doesn't take a brain surgeon to see that the location wasn't at all random. He picked a heavily Jewish neighborhood, apparently next to a Chabad center, kosher restaurants, schools. I mean, this was clearly a deliberate targeting of Jewish life, right? Not just a general act of violence.
Yes. So, look, if you're very smart in the way that you plan out these things, clearly he had done his homework and he had done his research on the area and what he wanted to target.
Yeah. So, Liron, it seems to be that there now appears to be some sort of a pattern emerging. We've seen shootings, arson attempts, vandalism, violent intimidation in North America and Europe. Thank goodness we seem to have been excluded for the time being, at least. From your vantage point as CEO of the CSO, is the diaspora entering a new phase of threat?
I don't want to say a new phase. I would say a changed phase, and I would say a more aggressive phase of threat. What we're seeing around the world is a new reality on hatred against Jewish people, and I would even say I don't want to say an increase in anti-Semitism, but a change into more aggressive anti-Semitism. Let's put it that way. The trends around the world started with online rhetoric and incitement, which leads to in-person rhetoric and hate speech, which ultimately leads to violence, and then it leads to the next level and the next level of violence, which can be arson targeted at a place or ambulances, as in the UK, which can then follow by drive-by shootings, etc. So what we're picking up as a trend is that the modus of anti-Semitism into aggressive anti-Semitism has drastically changed over the past few years since October 23. Yes. And that's really what we're monitoring and trying to understand, because the first step is online hatred and online rhetoric.
Yeah.
As soon as you start to see it moving into in-person and more aggressive in-person, well, then you've got to start worrying about the next step. And this is what we've seen all around the world. And thankfully, we're curbing it quite well here in South Africa for the time being, and hopefully for the foreseeable future.
Liron, I guess the question that's in the back of most of our minds, the issue of copycat attacks, to what extent are you concerned about that?
So it is quite concerning in general. Currently, the environment in South Africa, I'm very cautious when I say this, but we have been at quite a calm, stable point in terms of our threat assessment and our risk assessment at the CSO since the start of the Iran war. And I say that with the utmost caution, not to jinx anything. But at the current time, the risk out there in South Africa, we're deeming as quite stable. Is there a risk of copycat and lone wolf attacks? Of course. Is there a risk of terror attacks? Of course. But ultimately, we are responsible for understanding these types of events, investigating them, and understanding if they can happen, if they will happen, and then making sure to deal with them before they do happen.
Liron Saunders, CEO of the CSO, we're going to leave it there this afternoon. I just want to thank you for all it is that you do. Thank goodness somebody has put their hand up to do that. Thanks, Liron, and we will touch base again soon.